Hi guys, this is Dhruv Bhutani from the Untitled Gadget Podcast, and we are back for the 27th episode. Sorry we took a bit of a break in between, but you know, Akshay's not been feeling too well, and generally, like, we've all just been really busy. It's been a pretty busy month, both in terms of launches and hardware launches, and of course, the news cycle. So yeah, you know, we need our weekends off. But before we get started on with the podcast, Akshay and Harish, how are you guys doing?
Oh, I thought you were going to do full names again because you said your full name, and I'm like, I can't wait to see how he pronounces mine.
That's Harish Jonalagat.
Hey. Yeah, close enough. Not bad. Nice. It's been going good, man. Crazy busy. I've lost count of how many reviews I have to do next week. But yeah, I'm just making my way through the list. Next week is going to be really busy for launches. You'll see soon. So looking forward to that.
Yay. Yeah, man. I've also skipped a lot of reviews this week. As Dhruv mentioned, I was not feeling too well. So yeah, I've just been recovering from that. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but yeah, I'm getting back to action. But yeah, that's about it. That's been my week, 2 weeks in fact, playing games and working and recovering.
Yeah, you still got the sniffles. At least somehow I do too, like, now that I've heard you sniffling around in the background. But hey, okay, so that's the introduction sorted. Why do we announce this? Like, that's the, like, it's segments, like, that's the introduction sorted. Now on to the next bit.
Introduction,
it's like
done.
It's like we're talking to ourselves, like taking shit out. Like,
yeah.
Oh, introduction done. Then
or it's like writing a review, you know, like, have I covered this section or have I not?
It's like as if we planned the podcast and we're actually taking through the list. That's just, we don't even plan shit. That's what makes it hilarious.
Hey, actually, I would say that this is like, we absolutely do not plan the podcast, which is why we have to do these mental checklists.
Yeah, anyway. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So on the cards for this week, we've got the PUBG ban, we've got the RTX cards, we've got Intel Tiger Lake, we've got 5G for Qualcomm's 400 series. We've got the PUBG ban again because it's huge, but no, we're going to just talk about it once. Harish's OnePlus leaks. And technically, we've been asked to talk about 4G. We've been asked to talk about the Realme 7 series. We've been asked to talk about the Fold 2. We've been asked to talk about some iPhone 12 model, which will not have sub 6 gigahertz. No, okay. So yeah. Only one iPhone 12 model to have millimeter wave, while the rest will be restricted to sub 6. So we're obviously not going to cover all of that because we don't have the time for it. What do you guys want to talk about first?
PUBG ban. That's the hottest topic right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't understand this at all. Like, I read the press release a few times because I read it the first time and it did not make any sense whatsoever. It's a game. What sort of user data are they taking that the government is so worried?
And it's linked to Facebook and Twitter, man. It's like, it's basically you're allowing Facebook and Twitter to function. Why not this game?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
As a gamer, I wanted this game to suffer. I'll be very honest. I'm secretly saying that. But I also understand what this game did for the gaming scene in India. It brought gaming to the mainstream. Fine, it's on smartphones, but at least people were gaming. It acted as a gateway for people to switch to PC or consoles or whatnot, you know. And it did great things for esports. It did great things for just making gaming a household thing where people would pay attention to stuff that India has long ignored for decades, apart from casual games that everyone plays. So yeah, I was kind of on the fence for this ban. I understand what this game did for India, but I also understand that maybe the government found something for it to be worthy to be banned, and we just don't know about it yet.
That's harsh.
No, but
I'm
here's
sure.
The thing, right?
But that's the thing, right? It's not banned anywhere else. It's only banned in India. Sorry for cutting you off, Dhruv.
No. I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, these claims are all unsubstantiated. There is literally no proof that any data is being sent to China. In fact, like, the government notification itself said that we've received complaints that the game might be. So nobody has proved anything at all. In fact, I think one of the only other countries which has actually banned PUBG is Nepal, and that and their ban was because children are getting addicted to the game.
So they're banned.
See, that's it. I mean,
wow, admirable.
But
see, I understand all of that, but it's again someone's free choice and will, right? If you're addicted to a game, it's up to you to take care of yourself and not, you know, skip meals and die because of it.
Yeah, that's not right either.
2 weeks. Yeah, that's what happened 2 weeks ago. But that's personal responsibility and sometimes a little bit of awareness of mental health and gaming in in context to each other. But it's not a reason to ban a game, man. GTA has done far worse things.
Wait, back up a bit. Who died playing PUBG?
A kid died, man, 2 weeks ago in India. I think it was in Hyderabad, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere.
The fuck?
He skipped his meals and didn't drink water. And then he was taken to the hospital and he died of dehydration, basically.
How many?
Yeah.
Was he like out on a roof or something playing the game when it was hot? What the hell?
I think he skipped meals and water like for... like it could be days, I don't know how long it was, but he just didn't give a fuck about taking care of himself.
And are these kids playing like a different version of PUBG that I don't know about, because the mobile PUBG sucks.
See, it's the first time kids have gotten an experience to play an online multiplayer game, right? And with anything that's addictive, be it gambling, be it fucking alcohol, drugs, you end up screwing up your life. It's the same thing with video games as well. So, you know, sometimes people just ignore the fact that they have other things to do, like eat food, and just get involved in the game so much that they end up, you know, harming themselves. That's one side of gaming that I've never liked. Because, you know, sometimes people really, really do ignore their personal lives. Sometimes, you know, just don't give a fuck about things happening. So, you know, that's a caveat with gaming, but it's a caveat if you allow it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like what, well, I can't say that I like it, but at least that's a feasible solution that what Tencent's done in China, where... I think they lock you out after, I think, 7 or 8 hours of gameplay, or at least give you a few warnings or ask you to take some time off. Yeah, so I think that's a more feasible solution. But coming back to India, it's forget PUBG, like the other games as well, and some of the other apps. I can see some of the file manager apps maybe potentially like sharing some information, but really, like, these are bottom of the barrel apps. You know, it's not as if they're very high profile and very commonly used things. So, I don't know. Like, it's the government is just reaching now, and it's become a bit of a joke at this point. Like, if China takes 118 kilometers of land, we're going to ban 118 apps.
Yeah. But PUBG Mobile was very important for India, man. Like, I think it earned around $100 million or so last year from India. A fourth of all online transactions on smartphone games belong to PUBG Mobile in India. There are over 200 million downloads coming from India for this game. So it was a big deal. This game was, I would say, the biggest game in the country ever. Like, I've never seen such craze for any game, be it CSGO or whatnot.
Well, yeah, that's because it democratized gaming, right? You don't need
exactly
hardware or anything that's costly. You can just pick up a phone and start playing the game.
Yeah. Well, on one hand, I'm happy.
Additionally, like, the game worked pretty well even on entry-level and mid-range hardware. So that definitely helped. Like, so that, I mean, I'm sure, like, there's a reason why Fortnite, I mean, that's the reason, part of the reason why Fortnite is, you know, not that popular. Leave aside the fact that now it's not even available in the Play Store. So only the more aware gamer is going to go and grab it from the Epic Store. But yeah.
But the servers are still running for the game. If you have it installed on your phone, you can still play it as of yesterday. And there's another way to play the game, which is playing the on the Tencent Gaming Buddy emulator, which basically emulates the mobile game on desktop, which on low-end hardware, any laptop would run it.
But why not just play like the Windows version of PUBG instead?
So there's a big difference between the Windows version and the smartphone version. For example, in the phone version,
one of those needs skills.
Yeah, you need skills. I mean, in the smartphone version, there's no aim. There's aim assist. There's no bullet drop. There's no gun recoil. There's gun recoil. In the PC version, there's gun recoil. You know, there's aim. There's no aim assist. You have to do it on your own, and it's just particularly harder than the smartphone version. Which makes the transition even harder, by the way, because if you're used to just aiming at someone and shooting them, and it automatically the game automatically does it for you, then you're screwed. Because if you go to console or PC, you're gonna get murdered.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know, bit pointless. But okay, and that I guess like is a reasonable segue enough into 4G, which is, man, like from the name to the image used artwork in the promo material. Why can India not get out of this rip-off mentality?
I don't know. I wrote in my title that it's a PUBG clone and somebody took offense to it. I got a lot of comments and somebody was messaging me on Twitter and shit saying, oh, how do you know it's a clone? I'm like, I live in India. I know a little bit about how these things work.
And the name, I mean, it's just... I don't think it's a battle royale game. From the press release that I saw, it said core multiplayer game or whatever the fuck. But yeah, its timing was wonderful. Of course, this game was in development from before. It's not like they just announced it.
How long, though? Like, was it at the release?
At least, you know, here's the thing. They haven't showed any screenshot of the gameplay or any video of the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So it may as well be a very spontaneous announcement. I don't know.
Well, of course it is. Because look at how thirsty everyone is for gaming. If they're anywhere close to actually launching the game, they would have shared information, right? Because that is in their benefit. And by not doing that, they're just... Yeah, it's... I mean, they don't even have an account on the Play Store. They haven't published things yet. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that poster looks very, very... it looks like... something that they could have, you know, just ignored and just, you know, just put a logo announcement instead. Like, we all know the game's not going to look like that, right? No game looks like that. Not even PC games look like that. So, it's just that it's going to be a cartoony version of whatever the fuck. Just be, you know, frank with your people.
Yeah.
4G.
I mean, see, in isolation, it's actually a pretty clever pun. To go with like 4G, considering like it's the Hindi word for soldier.
Right.
It's just that, I mean, literally the entire world comes up with cool, innovative names. Heck, even Fortnite, I'm just taking that as an example, has no relation to the kind of game it is technically. But hey, it's a nice, memorable name that, you know, rolls off your tongue, and it's unique, it's different. It does not remind you of another game. Like, literally, like, you've got a full development studio. I'm sure you've got a whole creative team. And literally, this is the only name you could come up with.
I mean, to be honest, I just wondered why it took so long for someone to come up with that name. It's a great name, 4G. You know, like, we've been saying it all our lives. And it plays around with PUBG as well. But it's still better than PUBG or whatever that Indian fucking clone that was spotted on Play Store, right?
Oh, that sounded like a Punjabi version. Like PUBG. P-A-B-J-I.
J-E.
Oh, it's J-E. I thought it was J-I. Yes. Shit, like I was joking with Yash last night. Like, you know, you can use this as the next game to show off the next...
Yeah, that's what I told him is going
to come up.
Oh my God. Oh, well, yeah, no PUBG in India. Play Call of Duty, play...
Free Fire.
Know. Yeah, or that... I really like that Battlelands Royale.
Although I do have to say that Tencent does have a history of being shady, like very, very shady. So, I don't know what the motivations were behind this ban, but knowing Tencent and how they operate... I don't know, man. Anything could be possible.
I mean, you can't just say they're shady without actually saying what they've done. I mean, everyone's shady. For that matter, look at Facebook. Nobody's shadier than Facebook. Oh. And they're proven to be shady all that Cambridge Analytica and all that nonsense. So
Even the recent stuff.
Yeah, it's all just levels, right? Anyway, it's not like the ban will be overturned anytime soon. So find an alternative. Game on.
Some say it's a conspiracy that since Prime Minister Modi did not want to delay those exams, he got back at them for disliking their video on YouTube with this ban.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
And we're done with this segment.
That's, yeah. I mean, we really don't have anything else to add. It's bullshit, but it is what it is, and it's probably not coming back anytime soon. So, yeah.
Sounds about right.
Well,
all right.
I think a lot of people are going to look for jobs now.
Oh, that's one way to boost the economy.
Yeah, I know, right?
But there aren't any, right?
What?
No.
Jobs?
Jobs.
Yeah.
No, of course they're not.
India is in its biggest ever crisis and nobody talks about it. Instead, the government does all these things.
Minus 23.4%. Like, we're technically in a proper recession. I mean, this might as well be India's Great Depression. It's just that...
no one's talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get fluff pieces of the Prime Minister playing with peacocks. Because that's how India rolls.
But hey, this is the world's largest democracy, guys. We should be proud of that fact.
Well, are we even a democracy anymore?
No, I was just making a joke. I don't know if that conveyed well just on audio. Oh shit.
You know what? I think we're going to get a lot of shit from at least maybe like a small segment of our listeners. So let's not get too political here. I mean, everybody's got their own political ideologies. I think all three of us are on the same page. But hey, you do you. And this is all about tech. So let's move on to the RTX cards at Intel Tiger Lake. I might as well take a break at this point and let you guys carry on because that's your area of expertise.
We're not going to talk too much about Tiger Lake because those designs are going to come later in the year. And the focus is all about thin and light. So I'll talk 1 minute about it maybe. 10th gen platform, finally, they're making significant gains in performance. And they have... yeah, they're promising 2x better visual fidelity, and they're saying that you can play recent games at up to 1080p, so that should be interesting. Excited to see the designs that come out of that Tiger Lake series, but yeah, they're going to be costly, and I don't know when these things will show up in India. Tiger Lake done, thanks. Okay, RTX 30.
Well, what about it, man?
Dude, that was an insane presentation because we got the details ahead of launch, as we always do, and I was reading the numbers and I'm like, these numbers are false, right? Because there's no way the 3070 is just as powerful as a 2080 Ti. What the hell?
And for like half the price, I wanted to rip apart my 2080 Ti from my PC and just put it on, light it on fire or something. Like, fuck me. Nvidia screwed me over. But then again, that's what happens in 2 years when someone wants to do a generation leap. I mean, come on, man. These three cards are just incredible. And I think because of AMD, they're also being very competitive.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm going to suffer for it, for sure. But that's okay. It's great for gaming. It's making high fidelity graphic cards affordable for everyone. The 3080 can beat the shit out of my 2080 Ti. The 3090 can beat the shit out of...
anything.
I mean, everything.
The 3090 is not a consumer card. Like, I looked at the size of my RTX 2080 and then I measured how big the 3090 would be. It would not fit in my case. It's a massive 3-slot wide card. It's a fucking beast. For most consumers that want 4K gaming, the 3080 is also overkill. 3070 should be just fine, and it's 51,000 in India, so that's just
for 51,000 bucks. That's, and if you go for like, let's say Zotac or something, it's even cheaper. I don't know how they managed to sell it cheaper than the Founders Edition. Honestly don't understand that, but I love the fact that it's cheaper for people who want to build PCs in the coming next months. I mean, I spent like 3 lakh rupees, and now you can spend half the price of that and get a more powerful gaming PC than mine.
I think I paid just 13,000, but that's a different story. So the interesting thing there is with the Zotac, I think Nvidia is using a lot of new parts in terms of pooling. So I think that's why their own custom Founders Edition variants are slightly costlier than AIB partners. But hey, it's great. I mean, for 50,000, you'll get a video card that'll play any game that'll release in the next 3-4 years at maxed out settings. What more do you want?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I was basically just coming to that point. Maybe it's a bit of a reach, but I don't know. It seems like, you know, these cards have been priced to move, you know, gain. I mean, the economy is such that nobody is really going to spend, you know, $1,000 or $1,200 just right off the bat. So yeah, pricing them such that they can recover the cost through volumes, it just seems to make sense at this point. And 51,000, like, that's a price point. Or even the 70,000 rupee 3080. I was not planning to build a new PC or anything. But that's,
now you can.
I mean, it's not even about I can or I could earlier as well. But I didn't see, like, you know, I don't want to spend like 2 lakh rupees on a whim. But realistically speaking, it's going to get me the performance of something that used to cost 2-2.5 lakhs for 1.5 lakh. And now I'm tempted.
Yeah.
Or actually even cheaper. Because, I mean, all said and done, I don't need an i7. An i5 would be good enough for me. A 3070 would be good enough for me.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's the thing here. Because Intel also launched the 10th gen, the 9th generation is slightly more affordable and you're getting just as good a deal there. I mean, it's, you're not going to see any difference in performance. So this is actually the best time to build a new machine.
Yeah. And it's a machine that's going to not just, like, you know, run along for 5 years. It's going to stay pretty damn powerful. Like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, like you said, Akshay, 3-4 years maxed out settings and maybe 5-6 years, even with pretty high settings.
Yep. I mean, it doesn't make sense to play at 4K anyway. Even if you're playing at 4K, these things should last. And most gamers, I was looking at the Steam survey, I think 90% of gamers are playing at 1080p or 1440p. I think it's just 9% that actually play at 4K. So it's not a sizable, and this is Steam, right? This is the enthusiast segment. It's not like it's a more generalized survey. So yeah, for anything less than 4K, these things are going to run everything that's coming out in the next 3-4 years. Without,
there's also the affordability of 4K monitors, right? Like, surprisingly, while TVs have gone down cheaper in price, monitors really haven't. And I don't think, especially like in emerging markets, I don't think too many people are willing to spend 50K on a monitor. Especially when there's some really good deals to be found on 2K monitors. And I mean, you're going to maximize your performance as well. I was looking it up yesterday. Sorry, I'm just like wrapping up here. Akshay, you can continue after that. Sorry, I just cut you off there.
No worries.
I mean, I was looking up some monitors the other day. And 2K monitors, 144 hertz, 25-26K. That's pretty damn good.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. So I recently upgraded downgraded in some people's eyes from a 4K monitor to a 2K monitor. And that's exactly the same monitor I got, the one you're talking about, for 25 grand, 2K 144 hertz. But when the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X launch, prices for 4K monitors are expected to go down, but not considerably. And to be honest, if you're playing 4K games on a monitor, then you really don't need these cards. You need a bigger screen to actually feel the effect of 4K gaming.
Yeah.
If you're using a 28 screen or a 32-inch screen, it doesn't really matter since you're already so up close to the monitor. I would suggest, if you want to play 4K games, play it on a big-ass TV, because, you know, then you can actually see the big-ass resolution taking advantage of the graphic card. And to be honest, it doesn't make a big difference.
Yeah, for the listeners, I'll try and tweet out a link if I do remember, or just remind me on Twitter. But you guys need to read up about minimum viewing distances, because, like, for example, 8K, if you just talk about 8K TVs, if you're sitting like 6 feet away from your TV, probably doesn't really make a difference at all.
No,
it
doesn't.
For an 8K TV, you should be sitting in the next house. So I should ask my neighbor to get one.
But yeah, like, Akshay, like, just enlighten me, like, but if I'm not mistaken, like, I mean, Nvidia is talking 8K gaming with the 3090 and 4K gaming with the 3070, 3080. But now, suppose if gamers are stuck, like, playing at 2K, and in fact, this is an argument that comes up very often on quite a few gaming forums as well, that they'd rather have high frame rates and 2K gaming versus 4K gaming, which would also that technically you're going to get even more life out of these cards because they're designed for 4K and 2K is a lot less taxing.
Yeah, you're not pushing the hardware too much. Yeah, I prefer higher frames as well, especially if I'm playing competitive games. And if with RTX on, you know, like you're then and DLSS is on, you can easily achieve 60 frames minimum or above with ultra settings on, let's say, Death Stranding. That's what I was testing it on recently. In fact, I brought down the frames to like limited them to 60 because I felt like a little, it felt too fast for me. But, you know, if you play single player games, you really don't need to play more than, you know, go like to 144 hertz for a game like that. You know, 60 frames is the ideal situation for single player games. And, you know, and if you're playing competitive multiplayer games, you really don't give a damn about 4K resolution. What you care about is own frames.
Yep.
Frames. And that's about it. Like, I know people who don't even play in max settings because they want the highest frames possible because it gives you a competitive edge. So these cards are fabulous for what they can do. But I would suggest that if you don't even have a 4K screen or if you don't give a damn about 4K gaming, you will probably end up using these cards for the next 6-7 years because it's still going to be more powerful than the PlayStation 5, Series X, and unfortunately, most games are going to be made for those consoles first and then ported over to PC. 95% of games, at least.
Carry on, Harish.
No, I was giving you some context. So before I switched to the 2080, I was using my GTX 1080 for what, three and a half years. So it ran all games just fine, even though it was a 4-year-old video card. So these things will last way longer. So it's not like the cards are going to be obsolete in 3 or 4 years. If you're particularly playing at 1080p or Quad HD. So,
I feel Quad HD is the best resolution for gaming on monitors. Anything above that is just pointless.
A good balance.
Yeah,
though I'm not entirely sure with your argument of, you know, the consoles driving down monitor prices down, because I feel that the console market is all about large screen TV based gaming. I know you play your console on your monitor, but I'd imagine you're still in the minority and it's more of a convenience for you since that's where your entire gaming setup is.
Actually, most people that I know, especially the kids in colleges who don't really have enough setups to, you know, hang a TV on the walls. I'm talking all over the world. I'm not only talking India, like in dormitories and stuff. I've been using monitors since then. And especially for competitive gaming on consoles, there were 25 of us that play Battlefield and Call of Duty. All of us have switched to a monitor at least, and just this one fellow who's remaining. People are switching to monitors because of the better response rate, the 1 ms response rate on the display, because you already have latency because of the controller with the console. So people are trying to cut that short as much as possible. And with TVs, it's not possible right now. Like, they usually have 5 to 6 ms of latency. So people have started switching to monitor
on a console.
It does matter.
But 1 ms is not actually 1 ms for most scenarios.
Still better than TV, right? So the reason why I switched to monitors was because of that.
I mean, the latency that you get with your controller is going to be the bottleneck there, regardless of what you see on the screen.
I think the DualShock is 5 ms or so.
You know, so I've experienced this firsthand. Before this monitor, I was playing it on TV. And there are a lot of reasons as well. For example, the sheer size of the screen. Okay, let's say you're playing a competitive game like Call of Duty. So the fact that the screen is so big, your field of view is so large that you can't react in time to your opponent. But with a smaller screen, with the viewing angles being shorter than what they are, you really don't have to turn your neck left, right, and you just have to glance. So it makes a huge difference. Those are the reasons why people switch to a monitor, and that's the reason why I switch, because I don't have to keep moving my neck left and right to see where they are, when I can just glance. So that's the big difference.
Okay, makes sense.
Fair enough. I think what I'm more interested in,
this is for competitive gaming though.
Well, more monitors with HDMI 2.1. I mean, you can have a 144 hertz or a 120 hertz monitor, but I don't think a lot of them support the inputs from the PlayStation
5. 2.0 goes up to 100 hertz. If you need 144, you need to use DisplayPort.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to need HDMI 2.1 on the monitor to actually run these games at 120 hertz.
But then all monitors have DisplayPort anyway. I mean,
I wish the PlayStation 5 supports DisplayPort. That would be awesome. That would be incredible.
I want everything to run Thunderbolt.
Yeah, that is also there. But yeah, so my monitor is HDMI 2.1, but I bought it keeping PS5 in mind, and I think this is the same monitor, the Acer monitor I have, that everyone else is also buying. So yeah, let's see how it works. It's not like those 120 frames are going to work fairly easily on the PS5 either. Let's see, we don't know yet.
I was looking forward to using my Xiaomi monitor.
Anyways, that's the RTX cards and Tiger Lake covered. We're not going to cover PUBG ban again. So, do we want to talk about 5G for Qualcomm's 400 series? It's so boring.
We'll talk about it once it comes out next year. And it's not going to make a difference anyway, because, where is 5G in India?
It's just making 5G more affordable for more affordable phones, right?
Yeah, in the US, because Motorola is going to roll out a phone. Somebody was arguing with me on Twitter. It's been that kind of a week over how India is going to get 5G instantaneously because Jio had the foresight to install 5G base stations when it was upgrading, when it was rolling out its 4G network. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You need to lay out, you need to change the entire infrastructure. The infrastructure just doesn't mean changing out the goddamn base stations. They need to change their routing and switching too, and upgrade their central servers and their core network to be able to deliver that kind of bandwidth, because it's several magnitudes of bandwidth higher than 4G. So yeah, India isn't going to get that for the next 2-3 years.
Well, they're testing out next year, but hey, this is Jio, so they're going to get preferential treatment everywhere, of course.
That even with that, it just takes a lot of man hours to test these things.
And
5G in particular, right? Because of the frequencies that are being used, they need much more towers. And because of the kind of density that we have in India, it's just not ideal. So, yeah.
I can't get solid 4G, so I have very little faith in 5G.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Well, in India, the most of the 5G networks are going to be sub gigahertz, so don't expect much. You will expect a lot of range from these 5G towers, but don't expect speeds, because there's no millimeter wave being installed.
Millimeter wave was never going to be feasible for a country like India anyway.
Like India, yeah. We're too many people, man. Can't
they'll happen. Everyone needs to carry one of those small cell towers in their bags or something.
In their bag, yeah. Kind of like Death Stranding, you have shit on your backpack and you're walking around. You know, like a World War II soldier where you had to radio in, you had to carry that bag, that thing on your back to radio in stuff. Yeah. I think that's what
I mean. Also, to none, at this point, I wouldn't even mind a more transparent and open program. Hey, you know what? We'll come and install a small cell on your building, whatever, if you really need it. We'll charge you like $50 a month or whatever for it. I'm okay with that. Like, this entire hassle of, dealing with, say, Airtel, like, guys, please, I do not have network here. Can you please do something about it? And eventually they came and installed a small cell at the house across the street, and that bugger keeps on switching it off because he thinks it's going to ramp up his power bill or whatever. So, some days I've got a connection, some days I do not. Yeah, it's a bit of a shit show.
I have a small cell at my home because literally there was zero signal at my house. But yeah, it helps a lot.
I know it does. Like, I had one. So when we were getting this house built up, like when we were staying in a rental place down the street. But the thing is, like, they had to come and drill a hole in the wall for it. And I'm not ready to do that. Yeah. So
yeah, I did. I had to do that. You know what I got it for? Because I could not even get OTPs, which meant I could not order food or anything from Amazon. So like, I don't give a fuck about making calls. I really don't want to talk to anyone. I just needed to get my OTP so that I can have my pizza in the evening.
But
yeah, absolutely.
Now,
same. Like, no network at all.
But now it's just Wi-Fi calling, right?
Yeah, I'm talking to two years ago, man. Now, Wi-Fi calling just released last year. Two years ago, it wasn't the case.
And okay, yeah, 2 years
Wi-Fi
ago.
Wi-Fi calling is still not that reliable for me.
Yeah, it's
what?
Not. It's
been
not as reliable.
Some days it
it's
works,
been rock solid.
Some days it doesn't. Eh.
Oh, well. Maybe you'll get reliable 4G when 5G rolls around here.
Hey, early years of 3G, when like everybody started moving to 3G, like half the time I'd keep my phone switched over to 2G because that was more
faster.
Reliable.
Oh yeah, it was definitely more reliable, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so hey, I think this might just be a short episode, which is, Harish is going to be pretty ecstatic about that.
Wait, no, we have more shit to talk about.
We have,
we'll find a way to stretch it out.
No, we have just one more thing to talk about. We have the...
Talk about...
What?
Go ahead, go ahead.
We just
have... talk about Mario. We could talk about Mario and the games they launched and that AR shit that they did, man. That looks so good.
It does, but I'd rather... We should actually do like a 35th anniversary Mario. Why
special?
Why would we do a 35th anniversary special? Like, it's not a 35th episode. anyways, Harish, talk us through your leaks. No, actually, don't do that. I mean, don't talk us through your leaks. Talk us through your OnePlus leaks. That still sounds bad.
Oh my god. I just got what you were saying. Okay. It's interesting because now, for whatever reason, OnePlus is making budget phones. I do not understand the shift in strategy, but they're going to come out with at least three devices. One is Clover, that's the code name. The other is Bengal. And I think the third
Bengal?
One is... Yeah, Bengal. And the third one is Billy, I think one of the code names. And I thought there were three, but then... Yeah, but then there was another called Lemonade. So I'm like, how many phones do they have? I think at the end of the day, these will just be the same phone with different variants for different markets.
Yeah.
So they're positioning it for around 10,000. It'll have a 6.5-inch screen. It'll have a 720p panel, but still have 90 hertz refresh rate because they committed to it. So that's going to be garbage.
720p, though. Like, I mean, they could do a 1080 90 for like 12K. I mean, Realme is doing that, and it's going to be pretty similar to some Realme phone.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be made in the same factory.
Yeah, and then they're going to have a massive battery with 18 watt fast charging. I don't understand why they had to do this. I mean, from what I understood of their plan for this series, they're just basically taking existing designs from Oppo, Vivo, Realme, and then just changing the label. Why they need to do this, I don't know. Maybe they just want to build their market share.
Yeah,
so
I mean, Poco. that's the obvious... And that's pretty much the only reasonable answer for that. I mean, the two interviews that I've done, it's very obvious, like, OnePlus does want to go mainstream. I mean, just sticking in the high end. And you've talked about this many, many, many times. They're big on hype, but the numbers are still tiny. So the only way they get around that is getting into the mid-range with the Nord, and now getting into the entry-level and entry-mid-range with... Lemonades and Billie Jeans.
They're actually doing well on that front. Nord seems to be selling really well in India. They're barely able to keep up with the demand. And yeah, so last year they sold 5 million phones globally. I think just under 5 million or so. So Nord gives them that ability to target a lower, well, more, makes them accessible to a wider audience, right?
Yeah.
And by going one segment lower than that, they're just basically increasing that target audience, I guess.
So my issue with that is, like, so the Nord is actually, like, I mean, camera tuning issues aside, it's actually it's a really good phone. The performance is good enough for like literally everyone. It's just a great phone. But now we're talking about a whole different segment, and I feel that there's a bit of brand dilution in play as well. I mean, this is a brand that was supposed to be like really premium at affordable prices. And the Nord also sorts of gets there. A 12,000 rupee OnePlus, I'm not so sure.
That is my number one issue with this, right? Because when they launched the Nord, they went into a lot of detail about how they're only releasing this mid-range phone because the 765 platform is finally at a point where it's fast enough that it's on par with the flagships. And that was the reason that they gave for launching the Nord at all with the 765 and not the 800 series like they've done with all their phones. So when you say that 6 months ago and then come out with like a budget phone that's like $10,000 and running like a Snapdragon 460, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, the 460 is nowhere close. It's on par with like the 660 from a few years ago. It's not even in the same league as the 765, let alone the 800 series.
Yeah.
As long as they don't go the Realme route where I have a fucking yellow box sitting on my desk every 2 weeks, I'm fine with it because people do deserve cheaper phones. I'm all fine with that. As long as the experience is not sacrificed, I'm fine with that too. But if those things that makes OnePlus what OnePlus is compromised, then yeah, they might have a bigger problem in hand than they can even handle because, you know, Xiaomi is literally dominates that segment. And you really, really don't want to go up against them with an inferior product.
See, I think the strategy here is someone trying to be very clever. Xiaomi and Realme don't sell in the US at all, right? So yep. I think a big play for them here would be to target the US market because they have a foothold there. They've made carriers deals with Verizon and T-Mobile. So they have a strong... I mean, they're building momentum in that market. So I think this is... I think they're trying to see the budget segment in the US and the UK. I know Xiaomi and Realme sell in the UK, but not to that extent. So I think they're trying to leverage that. Wherever they have a better foothold, just trying to build on that by a more affordable device. Because they're not going to do any decent numbers with this in India, obviously. Because, well, look at the kind of phones we have here.
Yeah. And it's all thanks to them, to be honest. That's what they started. They probably need to stick to that. I just hope that it doesn't backfire for them. It's a big investment they're making, and if it doesn't move units, I just don't want it to be the ET situation where they have to bury phones.
It's not a big investment at all. They're not doing any changes. They're not making any design or any hardware decisions at all. They're just taking existing designs, putting a logo. That's it. It's the Micro Max way from a decade ago. Well, yeah,
The Poco way. It's the Poco way.
Yeah, the Nord is also picking from the same parts bin. And I mean, my only issue with that is that, you know, the design looks a little bit of a copycat and uninspired. But otherwise, I don't know. I mean, there's really no problem with it. It helps it get more affordable. Why not?
I guess. But that's it's fine. I mean, the budget market is underserved. When it comes to clean software, well, I won't say clean, but regular software with regular updates. So yeah. I think this will deliver that. Yeah, and no ads. Wait, Realme still doesn't deliver ads, does it?
Realme does do ads.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, as long as they can stick to that commitment, I'm okay with this
And as long as they can support it, the more phones they take on, the more support they have to drive out for their phones for different platforms. And Snapdragon 400 or 800 and 700, I think those will be three platforms they have to support. I just hope they have the infrastructure to do that or the people to do that because
sort of infrastructure they have for software.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm trying to say, that they better have their shit right. Otherwise, it's probably a customer will buy a phone once, especially the budget segment where they can easily switch every year to a different brand. And if you don't have your camera or whatever the hell they expect it to be, you're losing that customer. You're not gaining anyone.
Yeah, but interesting times definitely for the brand. I do not understand most of the decisions they're making. I feel that they're not being loyal to their user base that actually got them to this point. But I also understand that at somewhere along the line, they need to think about the mainstream segment and make money. Because
it's all about the balance sheet, man.
Yeah, I mean, it is a business, right? Like, that's the thing about Xiaomi as well, where everybody's like, oh, this is too expensive. Oh, you're doing ads. Buggers, like, there's a reason you're getting that phone for 10,000 rupees. You would not be getting it for 10,000 rupees if you did not have ads. Do I like it? Yeah. No, of course I don't. But, I mean, you get some, you give some.
Yeah, on that note, I actually want to take a minute. Sorry, Akshay. To talk about MIUI 12, because now that the stable update is available on most phones, it's been rolled out. It's actually pretty great. I've been using it for 3 months from the first beta to now the stable for a few weeks on the Mi 10. And it is pretty great how they've managed to optimize every single part of the UI. It feels more stable, feels cleaner, feels modern everywhere. And finally feels like a cohesive design, because earlier it felt like there were new bits added on while the settings were unchanged, that sort of stuff. But now it feels like a whole, everything has been refreshed. And I really like it. I like the direction Xiaomi's taking here.
Yeah, it's plenty good. Okay.
I was just going to say OnePlus, just do it right. Otherwise, don't do it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to do it. We'll find out if they're doing it right or not.
Yep.
All right. Hey, that kind of wraps up this episode. Sweet, we're on time.
Wait, I thought we were going to do some other user questions, whatever.
I do not want to talk about the Realme 7 series. It's fine. It's a good phone.
I mean,
we can talk about the iPhone.
I don't want to talk about it. It's the same cameras as the Realme 6. The camera tuning
isn't bad. It's the same phone as the Realme 6.
Yeah. I mean, the chips have been bumped up a little bit.
And AMOLED.
I thought chipsets don't matter anymore. You don't talk about them anymore. Huh?
What?
Well...
This is the most interesting time in this industry. It's so exciting with Qualcomm and MediaTek gaining ground. Samsung about to change things up next year. Very excited to see where they go. High silicon problems. And look at Intel, AMD, NVIDIA. Yeah. And obviously...
High silicon.
Yeah. Obviously, Apple silicon. So much excitement.
Yeah. Okay,
on the
Realme 7, pretty much the same phone as the 6, slight changes. The camera's trash, really bad tuning. It overexposes, oversharpens, blah, blah, blah. The same stuff as always. 7 Pro is pretty decent. Really fast charging, once again. Some of Realme's other phones in the same price range give you something else. So yeah, you'll have to pick and choose what you like. But if you want 65-watt charging... there you go. Now you have a sub 20,000 rupee option.
This is my problem with Realme phones. It's like someone has an Excel sheet as a template for a phone and they just change little thing and just launch it as a different phone every 2 weeks. I think Realme has lost their plot. They think that they can just launch a phone every other month to compete with Xiaomi. What they don't realize is that they are not differentiating between their own products. And that kind of gets to me, you know, like, the fuck? You're trying to compete with other people, but you are selling the same shit that you've been selling just 2-3 months ago. Like, come on, man. Like, that's why I keep taking that landfill reference, because you just changed, let's say, one sensor on a camera, or let's say you change the resolution of a display, or the charging tech remains the same. The camera is garbage on all those phones. It doesn't really help you or your brand in the long run, because people be like, you know, this launched 2 weeks ago. We have
else
now. We have Realme 8.
Yeah, like, I always think of this whenever a new Realme phone comes out. Somebody at the assembly line put in a different camera sensor instead of what they were meant
to. It.
And they're like, oh shit, we came up with a new phone.
Yeah, it's just, come on. That's not how it works, and that's not how you're going to grab customers, because you yourself don't know what the hell you're selling, man. Come on, like, just imagine going to a Realme store. They're like, oh, Realme 7, and what the fuck was Realme 6? What's the difference? Nothing. What? Then why am I paying more?
Yeah, I don't understand their strategy at all. And now they're not going to do the same thing in the UK, but they are making moves there.
Yeah.
But then again, man, like, as I said, their strategy is that Excel sheet.
The new CEO of Realme Europe.
Yeah.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, good for him.
In addition to India.
Mm-hmm. Making moves. All right, cool. I have nothing else to add on that topic. Anything else that's left? This was a packed week, but we wrapped up real quick.
Mario 35th anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, there's a whole bunch of Mario games coming out. All the old games are coming out again on the Switch. The only cool thing that really strikes out to me is the Game & Watch, which I've pre-ordered. And what else?
Mario Kart Live,
Mario Kart Live. So you got to spend $10,000 on a single cart. It's £99. So that's like 10,000 rupees for a single cart. So that means you're looking at spending 20,000 rupees to be able to
play with someone else.
To play Mario Kart on a real cart with the camera beaming an image to you
on your Switch.
Yeah, on your Switch. But given how bad the Wi-Fi is on the Switch, I don't know how this is going to work out.
Nintendo being Nintendo. That's all I'm going to say to that.
Nintendo being Nintendo is going to stream you a 480p stream.
But it's quite innovative, man. Like, I like what they're doing, though. Like, it's expensive.
It's been done before.
Yeah, but I still like the fact that it's Mario Kart and you can do it in your living room with your friends. I will buy it. I'm going to force you to buy one and we're going to play.
Yeah, yeah. I will buy one. They didn't have the pre-orders open for it that way. We'll just pick it up together. Like,
yeah, we'll pick it up together. And Harish, if you want, you can join in. We can play.
No, I listened to all this and then I'm glad I never got into Nintendo's ecosystem. I never had a Nintendo console, so I'm
good. Oh, hey, Harish, like, there's something nice for you. Now there is a Nintendo Switch emulator for Android. It works on Snapdragon 865.
Oh, shit, 865. No, I do. I'm thinking if I have any gaming-oriented 865 phones.
Asus ROG, which you refused.
Yeah,
but the only issue here is that for the moment, it only works with one specific controller.
Yeah.
And that controller, it's called the GameSir.
GameSir X2.
And that controller is not out yet.
Well, this... Obviously, they're taking a leaf out of the Nintendo playbook. This sort of bullshit. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I was about to buy it yesterday, by the way. I was about to buy GameSir X2 yesterday. I saw $99. I'm going to spend $100 more to play Nintendo Switch games when I already have a Nintendo Switch. Fuck you.
Exactly.
But is it? How will it come to India? When is it launching, the controller?
It's launching in a few weeks. It'll come via Singapore Post.
Fuck that. It's never showing up at my door.
Oh, Singapore Post is really reliable.
They're really good, man.
In a week.
Maybe to Delhi it's reliable, but Hyderabad is served by Bangalore Customs. And I do not want to talk about them.
Yeah.
Sad times.
You're screwed. You can have it sent over to our place and then we can send it to you.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. If you're buying one, let me know. We'll,
I'm not spending $99 on a controller that I don't know is.
I am just thinking about Game Pass, X Cloud, whatever the fuck they call it now.
Then buy the Kishi.
In that context. Kishi's out of stock everywhere, man. Fucking hell.
I mean, how the last 5 minutes has turned into how we usually talk. Instead of just focusing on a subject, this is just us basically talking shit about ordering products.
Yeah.
I really want the Kishi as well, though, but it looks so fucking good.
So my colleague is playing, has been using it for a while. He really likes it, but then I don't like the fact that it's only USB-C. Like, if I want a telescopic controller, I want something that I can also take off and just, you know, sometimes when I don't want the phone plugged in, it gives me that versatility.
I understand that, but I like that port because it reduces the latency as per the controllers. It's all about the options.
Oh, by the way, did you see the new 8-bit do arcade stick?
Yeah, I'm ordering that soon.
It is incredible. I want one.
I know. 8-bit do has been killing it, man. Has been killing it with their controllers.
Now I feel we're just doing an audio version of our WhatsApp chats. It's basically that.
I mean,
did you see it?
I have two of these controllers and they are better than PlayStation controllers. I don't know how they did that.
No, but seriously, Harish, have you seen it?
No, I have.
It looks like something made by Teenage Engineering. Look it up right now. It is stunning.
What is it called? By the way, do you get their emails? Teenage Engineering is launching something exciting in 2-3 weeks. So
what?
Yeah, it's going to be some sort of an exclusive. Well, timed exclusive.
What's
or something.
What's it called, Dhruv, again? 8-bit do what?
Hang on.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to buy that, man, for sure.
Guys, we're still recording. We may as well end the show and talk for like 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
The arcade stick, that's what it's called.
I'm sending you a link for it right now. And it is completely moddable, so you can put in Sunva sticks as well in it.
That's what it looks like.
And I will no longer get wrecked in Street Fighter.
I love how we're recording all this.
It's fine, man. The people talk about this shit all the time. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
Oh,
send you the link.
Damn. This looks amazing. Okay.
It looks sexy. Yeah, but first you need to get a Switch.
It works on...
I mean, it'll work with PC as well.
Yeah, it works as an X input device. So it'll work on everything else as well.
Oh, okay. Cool.
This is sweet, man. Like, I would just get one of these as, you know, like... as something to just put out on display. It looks so pretty.
Yeah.
And it's just $90, so that's great.
I like how we're talking about buying $100 controllers where the GDP is in minus in India right now.
You are spending $100 on a game, sir. You do not get to say this.
I was about to, but I didn't.
And with that, like, this is a wrap on this week's episode. I think we've gone off long enough. Anything else you guys want to add?
I'm going to go watch Simpsons.
Oh, nice. I'm going to go...
the first 10 seasons.
Play something. We're on season 18. We started in the US last year when Disney Plus launched. Mm-hmm. We were there at the time. So, over the course of a year, I think we got to 18 seasons. I think we're going to start season 19.
I never go beyond season 10 because that's the real Simpsons for me. After that, it's just... oh, God.
Is it smart?
The eyes over.
Disney Plus?
Oh, okay, I've got all the seasons, like, and I've seen like every single episode, but yeah. Well just go stream again.
Yep.
In HD.
Yep.
Alright, so that's it from me as well. Work to be done, stuff to be done. Alright guys, stay safe, keep your masks on. India is getting shittier again in terms of the coronavirus. I'm not going to talk about anything else because this is not a political podcast. See you guys next week, and thank you for tuning in.
Bye.
Try other games than PUBG.